Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'm your host, Davey, here on LATalkRadio.com. It is my pleasure to share these very special and sacred Sundays with each and every single one of you. As you know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. What do we mean by that? To raise your vibration. Well, each and every single moment of each and every single day, you have a choice. You have a choice to how you react to your exterior experiences in life. Right? Every single moment of every single day, something is happening to you and you're responding to that. Right? Raising your vibration is learning how to approach these circumstances and only let them make you better, happier, healthier, wealthier, wiser. It's seeing them as opportunity as opposed to being a victim to a circumstance. Welcome to the show. Now you guys know what we're talking about today. We have a very special guest that is my pleasure and my deepest honor to share my Sundays with. It's the one and only Dr. Michelle here on LATalkRadio.com, channel one, on the couch with Dr. Michelle. How you doing, Doc?
Hey, Davey, I'm fine. It's great to be on your show today. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you for taking your Sunday to chat with us. Really, really appreciate it.
My favorite things. I like to do that.
It's one of our favorite things. And for those of you that are familiar, make sure to tell your friends, check out LA Talk Radio Channel 1 every Friday at 11. You can't miss it. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. She's truly one of the wisest, most educated and understanding, compassionate people that you're ever going to meet in your entire life. She's awesome, Dr. Michelle.
Thank you.
Totally, Doc. So when we were chatting earlier in the week about, what we were going to do today's show on, you had brought up a topic that really resonated. And you said, why don't we talk about the importance of not letting stress from exterior circumstances get to your interior state of consciousness, or essentially don't let it affect your emotions to such a point where it's starting to influence your life in a negative way.
Oh yeah.
And that,
yeah.
No, please go on. I was just going to say that's very profound and powerful. And I'd like to thank you for bringing up such a wonderful topic, because I do think that that is one of the greatest flaws in society and human consciousness, and which has been embedded in society is accepting an overwhelming amount of stress and thinking that that's the only way to live life. So please, Doc, open it up. I do have a couple questions for you. We'll go throughout the show, but just to start the show, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it reducing stress in everyday life is so important for maintaining our overall health. You know, because I mean, it's been proven it can improve our mood. Of course, it'll boost our immune system functions, promote longevity. I can't say the word today for some reason.
No problem.
That also allows to be a lot more productive. You know, we can think better, we can function better, and all that. So
right.
When we let the stress around us, no matter what it is, you know, get the best of us, we can put ourselves at risk of developing a whole bunch of illnesses, and they really are connected. I mean, there's been a lot of research on this. So, I mean, literally from the common cold to severe heart disease.
Wow.
So, you know, stress has such a powerful impact on our well-being.
Wow.
It's a natural response. You've heard of that, of course, right, Davey? It's activated.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, in the olden days, right, when we didn't have things that we worry about today, we had, you know, when we were just primordial, you know, early beings, we had to get stressed about the animals that were attacking us or how we're going to feed our family.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, whatever it is, you know, live through the feast or famine, live through the storms, stay warm, you know, whatever it was. So in the old brain, of course, we have the fight or flight place in that brain. That's the old brain.
Of course.
So what would happen is that it would alert us to certain things. It's really necessary to have that part of the brain so we can function. So either we need to run from the animal that's charging on us or fight it and eat it for dinner. So,
right.
Or not. But so here's a little bit of the science. Would you like me to just tell you how our brains sort of work?
And this is something please, that I'm fascinated please do.
With. It's how we survive. Right?
Right.
So when we become stressed, you probably know that the brain undergoes chemical and physical changes. And again, it affects our overall functioning. So you've probably felt this before. All of your listeners out there have probably felt that during periods of high stress, we feel off. Sometimes we feel amped. Some people love to thrive off stress. Other people feel overwhelmed and exhausted. But what's happening there are certain chemicals in the brain, including, oh gosh, like dopamine, you've heard of that, right? It's a neurotransmitter.
Absolutely.
Norepinephrine, those kind of things. They begin to rise. So that causes larger amounts of these and other fight or flight hormones, as we call them, like adrenaline, right?
Right.
We have adrenaline, and they're released by the adrenal glands. So
absolutely.
What happens is the release of these chemicals contribute to certain physiological effects because we have to literally, our old brain has to get ready to fight or flight. And these are the chemicals that really help us do that. So what happens is our hearts speed up, our blood pressure rises, which also sort of allows us to be vulnerable to a weakened immune system. So it can really, you know, cause significant stress, you know, to our bodies and our brains. And we can get into that too, because I'm, you know, as a psychologist, I understand all the psychological effects that happen to us. But over time, chronic stress can lead to the development of other serious problems mentally and physically. So, and again, like I said, from the common cold to cancer, heart disease, it's been proven. So that's it kind of in a nutshell in terms of what happens.
That is crazy. It is so crazy to think that through the simple decision of choosing not to live a stress-driven life, how significant of an increase of longevity, of health, of just a longer lifestyle. You know, it's just, it's amazing. It's really interesting.
True.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's really interesting when you think about it too, how the human mind and the human body, it's so resilient. It can go through so much, but at the same time, it's equally just as sensitive, you know?
Right. Right. It is. And the resilience is important. But we do have to, you know, there are moments that we have to relax and take downtime. And those are the moments that heal us from those stressful times in our lives. It's resting or, you know, when our brains can sort of chill out a little bit and we can talk
Absolutely.
About those, but, you know, just relaxing ourselves. And I think the most important, one of the most important things is sleep.
Yes, so, without a doubt. Definitely.
Yeah, so we can talk about, you know, the different, you know, brain waves and cycles that we need to have in order to manage that stress as well.
Yeah, and you know what? That is something that has always interested me, is how the brain can drop into different categories of frequencies. And within each of these frequencies contains an entirely new database of emotions, thoughts, feelings, and it is absolutely tied in with your stress level. So, you know, if you're high strung and you're really overwhelmed and you have so much going on in your life, more than you know how to actually handle,
right.
that is when you start to kind of lose a grip on how to drop into those higher frequencies, right? So it's like the more stressed you are, it's almost like your brain creates an automatic neuro blockage and says, nope, you're not going to go past this certain level of frequency because you're not giving yourself that release of stress. You know, you're holding on to something so tight, whatever it might be. But yeah, I think that has a lot to do with why our society is the way that it is, why everyone's on some, you know, last week's show, we talked about artificial stimulation versus natural stimulation, talking about the difference between doing breath work or exercising and generating natural energy through endorphins versus generating energy through coffee or Adderall or cigarettes or something like that, right? Some other synthetic form of energy. But I think that ties in. That's why our society is...
it's so true. It really, you know, it's immediate fix in order to come down or, you know, whatever, so we can manage the rest of our days, you know, that kind of
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, that's why benzodiazepines are one of the most widely prescribed medicines. Well, they're trying to cut back on those right now, but I'm talking about the Xanaxes, you know, Ativan, Xanax, Valium, Klonopin. Those are benzodiazepines, which a lot of doctors are really trying to sort of lessen. I know the whole news information going on about limiting opioids because of the abuse, and that's important too. And those do sort of affect our nervous system and calm us down and manage the pain we all have. But when we're talking about benzodiazepines, a lot of people don't realize they are not opioids. They're a form of medication that releases a chemical. The acronym, rather, is GABA. And that's another neurotransmitter that's released in our brains that helps calm us down.
Right.
We have it naturally in our brains. So the problem with those medications is they can really be addictive, and we start to rely on those more than our own, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, techniques to manage our stress. So if we have a medication that's always pushing this GABA neurotransmitter into our brain, yeah, it'll chill us out, but we need more and more of it to keep managing our stressors. So,
and that's the same,
you know.
Right. And, you know, I believe I actually learned from your show on the couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11, that's actually GABA is also what's found in alcohol.
Absolutely. You know, and that's a lot of people relax, you know, with that's why a lot of people enjoy the effects of alcohol, because that's what it's producing and it chills everybody out. That's what's going on there. The problem is, you know, processing alcohol in our systems does a lot more damage, usually.
Absolutely.
Liver damage, et cetera, and can cause Korsakoff's disease and other problems if, you know, of course, alcoholism occurs, or if drinking alcohol is really out of control, it's beating up our internal organs. So that's why doctors prescribe the you know, benzodiazepines. But
those
are effective in managing certain disorders, panic disorder primarily, generalized anxiety, things like that. But I'm really, you know,
people get really managing themselves. People get exactly. See, that's the thing is, if you can learn to manage it yourself, and this is what we talked about, you know, on last week's show, the difference between artificial stimulation or energy, or this actually would be a polar opposite of last week's show, because this would be the artificial stimulation of depression, but not getting yourself depressed, but a depressant versus a stimulant, right? So, this would be how to essentially induce yourself with a depressant, right? But there's multiple ways of doing that. Just like you can stimulate your energy with breath work, right? You can also calm yourself down with breath work. It's all revolves around your intention. Obviously, and of course, the way you breathe. If you breathe rapidly and quickly, that's obviously going to give you more energy. If you breathe slower, that's obviously going to calm you down. So there's a lot of techniques that we can do. Even go for a run. That's going to give you energy, but then you're going to get back and you're going to be tired. Right. And these are just, I mean, this is common sense, but these are things that we forget that we can do. I'll tell you that there's definitely a point in my life I thought that I could go exercise.
Yes.
And that was really profound for me when I actually started to exercise again and go on a jog or just get out in nature, go up to the mountain. It was amazing. And it was very, very healing. So these are the things that are available to us to really release our stress, calm us down to where we don't have to be reliant upon an external depressant, right?
Right. So I can't, you know, I stress, no pun intended, the importance of understanding the physical effects and being mindful of our bodies when we feel overstressed.
Yes.
You know, so important of knowing, you know, some people get fatigued. So, you know, our body's physical reactions to prolonged stress, like I said, can accumulate slowly. And they can sort of go unnoticed, especially if we're younger, you know, like you.
Right.
But, you know, even if it seems that we're building a tolerance to stress over years, our nervous system still tries to deal with an overload. So in the long run, it is sort of cutting away at that system.
Right.
So, you know, just to throw that out there, also the psychological effects, right?
Yes.
It can contribute to the mental and emotional disorders. I was talking about panic disorder briefly. But it can also increase depression.
Right.
Anxiety, phobias, you know, fears.
Yes.
Phobias that we create in our minds, which really aren't real.
Absolutely.
We all hear about things in the news that happen to people. We all hear about, you know, someone breaking into someone's house or someone getting shot. That's all we hear is the news and those ID shows. They have the murders and the, you know. But fine, we're all exposed to that, but not usually on a daily basis.
Right.
But we see it, and then we're stressed in our lives. And then what can happen is we start creating these fears and phobias. Oh, my gosh, someone's going to hurt me. Something's going to happen. You know, when we're in enough car accidents, sometimes we start thinking, every time I go out there, I'm going to get in a car accident.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what
happens... I can speak from personal experience, Doc. There was a period of my life where there absolutely was, it's like back-to-back. I got in a couple car accidents, a few actually, more than a couple. And I've always been a very safe driver. Drive slow. I don't tail people. It just so happened to be kind of wrong place, wrong time. And I was emitting a lower vibration. So obviously, otherwise that wouldn't happen. But I, after those experiences, I literally felt like I was, every time I was going to get in the car, like something bad was going to happen. And I did stress about it and it caused anxiety. And I ended up taking Uber and Lyft for almost a year because I didn't want to drive. Yeah. And
were you afraid when the Uber driver was driving as well, or did you just close your eyes or,
you know what? It was more, I cared more about having to pay insurance than me ever getting hurt.
Because
it was, I always knew that I was never going to get hurt. It's just like a knowingness. It's just like, oh, this again, like again. And then the insurance companies obviously weren't very happy with me, but no, it was fine in the Uber driver's car. It's just, as I just didn't want my own liabilities on the line, you know, but it's really interesting when you have these experiences. Cause I remember when I first got my license, right. And this is just my own, obviously my personal experience, but when I first got my license, I thought I was on top of the world, you know?
Sure.
Nothing's ever going to happen, but we have these experiences, and obviously driving is just a metaphor for any traumatic experience you have in your life, but, you know, you have these experiences and they fundamentally shift your relationship with whatever it was, you know?
Wow. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, and that's why I had asked you about, you know, your fear, you know, what were you thinking about when the Uber driver, you know, was driving? Were you, you know, thinking about, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't have control over this person, but at least I'm not driving. Because back to that, you know, the emotional stress that we go through on a daily basis, worrying about people, the anxiety of finishing a project or getting fired or getting home. And, you know, here in Los Angeles about traffic, I mean, you know, other people in other states or countries listening to this and, you know, non-metropolitan cities, say, well, we don't have to deal with that. But seriously, it affects so many people, you know, and their stress level. Driving in Los Angeles is a thing. I mean, and so all of this emotional stress that we bring in, whether it's, like I said, with our partners, relationships, friends, you know, stress or feeling guilty, whatever old stuff we have going on as well, it can make it really difficult for us to focus and make decisions. You know, we can't...
Absolutely.
Have you ever been so stressed that you can't sit down and think things through or remember something because your mind's going 100 miles an hour, right?
Very much so. Story of my life.
So stress can also cause irritability. And of course, you've seen that. And I know you're really good with people, but you've seen other people get really frustrated and impatient. We all get like that. But if we can check ourselves, we're in good shape. But if we get beyond that point where, you know, we're always in defense mode.
Right.
You know, then we can cause problems with our lives. We'll be frustrated, angry, irritable, defensive, and we can have consequences. People don't want to be around us. We get fired. So it's like a snowball effect.
And, absolutely. Especially when you don't do anything about it.
Yeah, we get depressed and angry. We have feelings of insecurity. That's another huge thing that I hear every day in my office.
Right.
So, well, the physical effects of stress can be overwhelming. It's really important not to ignore the psychological effects because they go hand in hand.
Absolutely,
you know?
They do. Yeah. Of course. It's like, you know, we also tend to forget how connected mind, body, spirit is. You know, what we think in our mind is a direct reflection of how we're going to feel. And our emotions, believe it or not, you know, this has obviously been scientifically proven, our emotions release chemicals in our brain. So, I guess it would be the other way around. The chemicals in your brain make you feel emotions, but you choose how you want to feel. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it's like, you know, when something happens and you accept a certain emotional state, whether it's depression or joy, ecstasy, you know, regret, whatever it might be, when you give into an emotional state, you all of a sudden release chemicals that make you feel that way, which then tell your body to feel a certain way. That's why when you're depressed or when you're any feeling that doesn't serve joy, anything that's outside of love or joy, that's why it'll be more difficult to get out of bed in the morning. It'll be more difficult to you'll have more pain. It'll be more difficult to heal when you have an abrasion or you know, little things like that. Your body, on a cellular level, it's responding differently. On a cellular level, it's actually responding in a completely different way as if you were to be in a state of joy. Right.
Yes, exactly. It's so true. You know, I agree. So, you know, there's really so many things we can do though to help ourselves.
There are.
It's difficult when we're in the mix of a high stress, let's say, situation in a work environment.
Right.
A lot of people just run off that adrenaline and they get through it. You know, I hear this every day. But I stress to them that they have to get out of that environment. If they have breaks, if they have to pretend that they're going to the bathroom,
right?
You know, get out of the office physically, somehow get out of the environment physically, take your break, get outside and walk or sit down somewhere, even go to the restroom and go into a stall and close the door and just breathe, close your eyes. Anything that can take you out of a stressful situation, you know, even, you know, being anywhere in public, whether you're going to a doctor's office or you're, you know, walking in a crowd or, you know, dealing with whatever it is, you know,
right.
You're feeling stressed. You can just simply close your eyes and start doing old school, slow breathing, which slows down autonomic nervous system. And it will kind of slow down your thought process. You know, it's very, we can, you know, do a quick exercise if you want, but
yeah, I would love that. Let's go and do a quick exercise. 'Cause one thing that I really am putting more energy in regards to how to structure Dave's Good Vibration Station is I really want all of our listeners to be able to take something home with them, you know, from each and every show. And we offer them a lot of assistance in how to approach certain things in life. But I also want to offer actual tools that we can, you know, give the listeners to assist them in their day-to-day activities.
Exactly. So, you know, let me just kind of give you an idea of some of the things that I suggest that people do.
Please.
When I suggest this to patients, they go, oh, please, give me a break. Okay. So when I say, maybe you should try to meditate, you know,
yes.
A lot of people think I have to go into this, you know, Buddha position and go, oh, no. You know.
Right.
Meditation is simply calming the mind and slowing your thought down. And, you know, you don't want to go, it's not like you're going into a trance-like state. The whole goal is just to feel relaxed and get away from those thoughts in your mind that are, got to finish this document, I got to call back this person, I have to go, you know, just get those thoughts basically out of your mind.
Right.
And there's lots of ways you can do it. You can go on YouTube and Google how to meditate and get hundreds of techniques you can use. And it's very personal. It's whatever you feel good about, whatever you vibe to. But
100%.
But what happens with that is, to make it simple, you're just shifting yourself into a healthier pattern of relaxation. And so it's keeping the mind still, basically. And you do maybe, if you can, 10 to 15 minutes a day, whether it's in the morning or taking an afternoon break or in the evening. I always suggest people try to do it twice. If they can do 10 minutes in the morning and then 10 minutes when they come home from their busy day or whatever, because we all need to just chill out a little bit.
It's so true.
Or even just 10 to 15 minutes once a day is awesome. So, you know, basically it's breathing, and you have to learn how to breathe. You get comfortable, you sit comfortably anywhere you can. You don't have to lie down. It just gives you inner calmness if you're more comfortable sitting. And I prefer a peaceful environment. Not all of us can go out to the tree that we see from our view, or if we don't, you know, have that kind of thing. A lot of us can just go in the comfort of our, you know, living room or our bedroom or whatever works. So
absolutely.
And
something please go on.
Yeah.
Please go on.
No, I want to hear.
No, I was just going to say something that I've found myself doing actually a lot more recently, especially since I've, and I don't know, listeners, if you know this, but I am a father as of a little over 6 weeks ago. So thank you very much, Doc. It's the greatest blessing I could ever imagine. But one of the things I found myself recently doing is watching nature shows, you know, watching Planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Planet Earth actually came out with its sequel, Planet Earth 2. It's really, really cool. It's on Netflix. And it's so much fun. I was watching the South Pacific. I mean, there's so many documentaries on nature, which I've also found significantly lowers my stress level. So if I'll be in the house, I'll be taking care of the baby and we'll just put on, you know, we don't want to put on an action movie, or we don't want to put on something that is even going to raise a little bit of stress, even though it's just a movie and it's silly, it still triggers those same chemicals, you know? So we'll put on like nature shows and it's really relaxing. So yeah, if you don't have the accessibility to, you know, go outside and be in nature, you know, crack the window and, you know, turn the fan on, put on a nature show. It's awesome. Okay. It's so much fun.
Right. And again, YouTube has so many beautiful, you know, just natural scenes with quiet music behind it. I mean, there, you know, it's really cool. We can all do that. And we can sort of put ourselves in those places of a beautiful lake and, you know, the ocean rolling in. I mean, we can just get there. But before we get there, I always suggest that we do that breathing that you and I were talking about earlier before we get into that, you know, visual thing or going out into nature. You know, it's the old school. For me, this is what works for me, is I teach patients how to breathe through their nose very slowly. You breathe in very slowly through the nose, very slowly.
Right.
And then hold it for about 2 seconds, and then you breathe out through your mouth very slowly.
Right.
Don't push it out. You go very slowly. And you do this as long as you can focus on doing it. And what you're going to find is that, you know, it slows down the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic. It slows down your everything, your heart rate, your sweat rate, your blood pressure. Everything is lowered.
Because, that's amazing.
You know, the breath is like, is the pilot of the body.
It is. You know? It is. And Doc, I actually have a question for you. And I meant to ask you a little bit earlier in the show. We just got caught up in conversation.
Sure.
But I wanted to know, in your personal experience, have you ever been in a circumstance where you know that you can, or that you do have the capability of consciously and deliberately releasing stress and relaxing yourself, but the thought patterns and the emotion is so dense or so overwhelming and intense that it's almost too overpowering to take a step back from and say, okay, I'm just going to breathe? Because, you know, if you think about it, when you're in such a panic, or if you're experiencing a panic attack, which a lot of people deal with, I know that I've had experiences with panic attacks in the past as well. There's just been certain, you know, certain things will trigger this emotion, and then you feel like you're overwhelmed with, like, it's almost like you're claustrophobic in your own body. And but how do you, in that type of circumstance, or I was going to see if you've had your own experience with something similar to that, you know, how do you break out of that? Or if you've had an experience similar, how did you get out of that? How do you break that when you're being consumed by this emotion? How do you break that? Say, stop, I'm going to breathe.
Yes. I mean, first of all, it's, you know, it's getting control over your thoughts, because I mean, that's what's driving you to not be able to focus on your breath, right?
Right.
But there's a practice that we teach sometimes. It's called mindfulness.
Right.
And it's literally taking care of your thoughts. Now, let's just say you're stressed or something, and you're thinking about, you can't stop thinking about, I'm making something up here, the possibility of getting fired.
Because
there's, your boss is a bully, a lot of people have been getting laid off, the company's downsizing, and you can't get that off your mind because you have a family to support, or you have to, we all need work, we all need income.
Right.
And so you're obsessed. You get to the point of being obsessed, let's say.
Exactly.
But then you always start thinking about, you know, I'm being watched, and I have to act normal. And then, you know, just constant, we call them ruminations on things that we fear may be happening or happen. Like you mentioned, you got into a couple of car accidents, which sort of freaked you out. That's another point. I've had several patients who've gotten into, you know, different car accidents. And then it's hard for them to get rid of those ruminations about, oh my God.
Right.
What if someone comes out of the blue and just nails me? Well, we kind of just have, all we can do is be very safe and keep our eyes open and try not to respond. But the brain keeps going. We think about it all. How am I going to protect myself? How am I going to keep my job? We always go to worst case scenario.
Okay? So true.
So in order to interrupt that, because we can't breathe because our minds won't stop. The only way we can do it is take control of our thoughts. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold this morning, so I apologize for coughing.
Oh, no problem.
I don't have a cough button like you do on the radio. But anyway, so I could, I guess, like move away when I do that. But what happens is, you know, we have to say, I can, through my mindfulness, take charge of this rumination. So mindfulness is, what's, you're sitting there, let's say, and your mind's going, oh my God, my boss is coming later. I might get fired later. Oh my, you know, these on and on and on, over and over and over. You could say, wait a minute. Okay, what am I feeling right now? So you go inward and you start changing that thought to, wow, look at this room. Oh my God, the thought's going to go. It's going to keep going, but you have to interrupt it with a here and now mindfulness of what you're experiencing.
Yes.
So you say, right this moment, you go, whoa, I'm going to feel my pulse. Wow, my heart's beating so fast. Wow. And then a thought can come in. Oh my God, he might come in and fire me. Literally in your mind, you have to say, stop. What am I feeling? My heart's beating. Okay. Breathe slow. Try to breathe. Okay, I can't breathe because I think I'm going to get fired. Stop. What are you feeling? How's your back feeling? Are you comfortable in the chair? Well, my back's a little stiff. So you're mindful of your body.
And you just shift.
Tightening up. You shift that thought to, oh, my shoulders are tight. Oh, wow, my feet are they're hurting in these shoes a little bit. Maybe I'm going to just kind of loosen my belt or whatever. You start thinking of your body. So when we get our minds off those ruminations, you know, we can really kind of try to keep pulling back. It's like a fight, but it's training our brain to change those neural pattern thoughts.
Right.
What am I feeling? Oh, what am I feeling? And not what am I feeling emotionally. You can do that, but you're scared emotionally.
Sure.
You're ruminating.
And what would you...
What am I feeling physically? Well, my heart's beating fast. Okay. Okay. I'm sweating. Okay. Okay. Focus on what's going on.
Right.
Now that can shift the thought and the fear.
And now, Doc, that's definitely helpful. And I'm sure that if and when that comes up next for anybody that obviously listened to the show that experiences, panic attacks or anything like that, definitely something good to remember and try out. Now, what would you say to the person that doesn't necessarily experience it so severely, but possibly more frequently? So it's kind of like they're living in this constant state of anxiety, kind of fear-based paranoia, frustration, depression, kind of, because all these emotions kind of snowball in together, like you were talking about earlier. You know, if you are worried about something, you tend to fall into a little bit of depression, which maybe might trigger a little anxiety, and it just they're all kind of pulled in together. You know, just as like in the same way that if you're feeling happy, it's also easy to feel grateful for things. You know, happiness and gratitude aren't the same emotion, but they are kind of pulled in together. So what would you say to someone that kind of deals with these emotions on a day-to-day basis? Because we can't be just like walking around breathing, consciously breathing all the time, you know?
No.
But at the same time, that'd be great if we could, right? Because,
exactly.
I mean, The monks
True.
Do it, and the yogis, and that's, I mean, that's what they do all day. They do yoga and they breathe, and it's to let a greater life force flow
Sure.
through. And breath is the force of life. There's no doubt there. But yeah, so would the approach be different? I mean, what would you say to someone that? Because I mean, if you think about it, there's so many people out there that do they struggle with tics, and I mean, when I was younger, I had little tics. I would squinch in my nose and like make funny sounds, and it was just a weird thing, right?
Sure.
And this isn't.
Well, it's our body's way of releasing stress and worry. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. And
all right. It was a great learning experience to
sure.
get over it. You know, to let that stuff go.
And so that was wonderful too, because you learned you could become empowered to overcome it.
Exactly.
It would pass because whatever was stressing you out hopefully had passed and there was some time in between and you didn't snowball that into another stressor, but people do tend to do that. So to answer your question, it's a great question, by the way, because, you know, this is what I hear the most frequently.
Right.
Are people who are just dealing, it's almost like a low-level stress, but they're not full-blown passing out from, you know,
Exactly.
They're they have to exist. So what you have to do is have a combined amount of activities and thought processes that will help you. You can't always snap out of it. You can't always meditate. You can't always, I'm going to breathe. You have to combine these things. So what you have to do is try to, of course, and this is science, and this is a common thing that we're dealing with, is engaging in regular, moderate exercise.
Yes.
Now, if this is not killing yourself. This is every day if you can, or every other day. Like walking. If you can walk before you go to work, and so many people think they have to get up at 4 a.m. and go to the gym before they get on the road. And you, if you can do that, that's great. But I vote for sleeping in over killing yourself in a gym before you go to work, because that's more. So if you can get in even walking for 20 minutes a day, okay, yoga is great, but you've got to find it. Either you have, you know, you can go online and just watch a YouTube video of a yoga person and practice it, or go to classes if you could do that. Yoga stretches, and if you have a good yoga teacher, they lead your mind to releasing things through thought.
Right, absolutely.
And if stretching and moving your body slowly is really a release. All different kinds of exercise. You don't have to run. You don't have to go on the elliptical for 45 minutes and kill yourself. You can, you know, if you have access to, even if you're not that wealthy and you go to the Y, you can go to the Y, which is really cheap. YMCA, YWCA, they have pools.
Right.
You could go swimming, or you could dog paddle, or you could just chill out in the water and move around for 20 minutes. Exercise releases positive stress-busting endorphins, see? And so any kind of exercise, you know, whatever you like. If you like something, man, go to your local, join a group. If you like playing tennis, if you like soccer, if you like, I have a lot of people who are into volleyball. We're in Southern California, so you can practice that and play that all year round. You know, there's lots of sunshine out here, but whatever you can do that you enjoy, even they found that it not only has it slowed, exercise has it slowed down those stressful thoughts and that underlying stress, because it's releasing those endorphins.
Right.
And it gives people self-confidence to lower the symptoms associated with anxiety and depression. So you go, wow, dang, I've been going to the gym now for 3 weeks, and for some reason, I just feel better. Or I've been walking every morning for 20
yes,
minutes.
Yes, it's so true. Or even, yeah, it's so true, Doc. Yeah, you know, I went to the beach with my baby girl for the first time yesterday. We had a family day out. It was amazing.
Aww.
We went to the beach. And I can't tell you how amazing I felt just walking from the car to the sand. And we were just, it's just the feeling of being out in nature and getting a good, nice walk in, and just being in that energy is just so amazing. You know, it's so healing. And the ocean, if you live somewhere, and listeners, if you are by a body of water, try to spend time by that body of water. It emits negative ions, which is essentially positive energy. So the more time you spend in these places that are literally emitting like just infinite amounts of positive energy, it's really amazing how it responds to your emotional state of being. You'll feel happier. You'll feel lighter. You'll feel brighter. And I mean, it's
science.
Such,
I mean, that's true science. You know,
it's true science. Absolutely. True science.
So any kind of, you know, that kind of an environment's great. And, of course, you mentioned walking on the beach. When you walk on the sand, there's a lot of resistance there, so you're getting great exercise.
Right.
But if you live near a park, go to that park, drive near that park, and take a walk. If you can't get near, you know, the ocean or the mountains to go hiking or whatever, find a park. Find open spaces.
Yes.
You know, we have relatives who live out on the outskirts of Las Vegas. Very hot. It's very desolate. It's, you know, there is a city, but, you know, of course, and all that, but there's not a lot of beautiful nature out there. It's very, it's desert.
Right.
So find places in that area that you can just enjoy, if you're in that environment, to walk and just get out and breathe. So what you're doing is you're trying to just, and if you like I said, if you like to exercise at a gym, go for it. I suggest that people not exercise a lot after their days or at night, because that's a, you know, what it does is it boosts your energy and it releases the endorphins. So what's happening is it's kind of, it can keep you up. So if you can try to exercise, you know, earlier, and I'm not saying early in the morning, but try to get out of work earlier or take a break and take a 15-minute power walk. Do that.
Right. Absolutely. You know, hey, Doc, that's awesome. That's awesome. I have a personal question for you with the 4 minutes that we have left on the show. So 4 or 5 minutes here. I just wanted to ask, has stress or anxiety been something that you have personally dealt with in your life?
Oh, yes. Off and on throughout my life, as we all do. I've had a lot of stress, you know, just through certain life things that have happened. You know, I was exposed to some car accidents as a victim in you know, about a matter of like a year and a half. There were some things that were very close calls, and they happened because someone was being careless. So I had a lot of fear and stress I had to get rid of. Yes, absolutely. You know, and the regular stressors involved, you know, I used to work in, you know, a clinic for 4 years, psychiatric clinic. So you're dealing with a lot of stress there because you're dealing with people who have some serious disorders, and all of the workers and therapists and doctors, they're pretty stressed. So, you know, any kind of an environment, you know, like that, that was very stressful to me also. Those are things that I can remember that really stand out in my mind. But again, the way I manage them is through awareness, because I'm lucky enough to be in the field of you know, psychiatric, you know, mind-body connection information.
Right.
So what I did, I really worked on getting enough sleep, because you need to have, they're called delta and REM brain cycles or brainwave cycles. And you need to get to those several times a night, because the delta is the deepest state of sleep, and then the REM is a lighter state of sleep. But that's how it goes in sequence. You go, you start with alpha, you go to theta, a brainwave, you're more relaxed. Then you go to delta, and then you go to REM. And if you get enough delta, that's the cellular repair of your body. That's where our bodies are repaired. And if you go to REM, that's where our brains are sort of rebooting and analyzing. That's why we have so many bizarre dreams. We can't, you know, so I went to a weird place. I didn't know these people, and this happened, and that. What our brains are doing is trying to make sense of all of the input that we have in our lives. So it's just kind of coming out in that little, it's what it's doing is it's filtering, it's rebooting, it's, you know, it's sort of cleaning out, you know, all of the bacteria or virus in your computer.
Right. And so when you
know, and that's a big one. You have to get adequate sleep, because if you don't, you're going to suffer worse. So yes, so, I have, and I used meditation. I used better diet, because if you eat a healthy whole foods diet, like has a lot of dark greens and chlorophyll.
Right.
Okay. These are helpful for stress as well.
Yes.
You can lose a lot of vitamin B. Yes. Caffeine, sugar, those are no-nos. As I sit here drinking my cup of coffee right now.
Of course.
so, yes, I have, absolutely. But I've managed it through all those techniques.
Oh, that's great to know, Doc. Ah, oh, wow, what an awesome show. And I really, really appreciate you coming on, just sharing your wisdom, your knowledge. You're such an educated, compassionate, amazing, loving person. And I really cherish every show that we get to spend together here on LA Talk Radio. And listeners, make sure to check out every Friday at 11 in the a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on LATalkRadio.com, Channel 1, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Can't miss it. You can also email her straight. Is that the right email, Doc? Is it the
straighttalkdoc@gmail.com?
straighttalkdoc@gmail.com.
Right.
And then you can also, check out
my website, which is talkshowtherapist.com.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, you could also check out our website, talkshowtherapist.com. Doc, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your profound wisdom and knowledge on the show. And listeners, I highly suggest you take the doc's advice. She only means well and only has the best of intentions behind spreading this knowledge and wisdom. And
Thank you so much for having me on today, Dave. My pleasure always.
Thank you, Doc. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.
And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in here to LA Talk Radio's Dave's Good Vibration Station. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Good Vibe Station. We love you guys. We thank you. We appreciate you spending your Sunday afternoons with us. Keep the vibrations high and know that you create your own reality. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.